Friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. The text for this morning from the Gospel reading, John chapter 1. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him. That is, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us. Amen. Please be seated. We Americans absolutely love to play the blame game, especially in our court system. Last year, there were 5 Idaho inmates who were doing time for drunk driving who sued a group of beer and wine companies, blaming them for not adequately warning them of the dangers of alcohol. And then there was the woman who burned her thighs on hot coffee that she was holding in her lap while she was driving, and yet she blamed the restaurant and sued them. A man who smoked 3 packs of cigarettes for 40 years, and he died of lung cancer, and then his wife, his widow, goes to the court blaming the tobacco company for his death. We love to play the blame game. I've played it. You've played it. We all do it. It's in our blood. The apple just does not fall very far from the family tree. And if you remember, our family tree goes all the way back to the original contestants in this blame game. God! It was this woman! And by the way, the woman that you gave to me, remember? She is the one that took the fruit. You gave her to me. It's her fault. It's your fault. Eve? Is it true what your husband says, that you took the fruit? Well, it was the serpent. He tricked me. The devil made me do it. Playing the game blame is bad enough when it's trivial stuff. Like the time my mom caught me with a stolen cookie, and I blamed my brother who had dared me to do it. So mom said, "Well, did your brother force your arm into the cookie jar? Did he shove that cookie in your mouth and force you to chew it and swallow it? Yeah, it's bad enough when we play these kinds of games with each other. But when you're facing the all-knowing, almighty God of heaven and earth, and yet that didn't seem to make a difference for Adam and Eve. It didn't stop them. Somehow or another, they thought they could pull this one over on God by playing the blame game. It's her fault. It's the devil's fault. It's your fault, God. You gave me the woman. You made me this way. You gave me those parents who probably had no business having and raising children. God, ultimately it all goes back to you, right? But God just won't play along. What have you done, Adam? Have you eaten of the fruit of which I commanded you not to eat? What have you done, Cain? Where is your brother? What, so I'm my brother's keeper now? Yes, you are. What have you done? And don't point the finger to the guy next to you. This isn't about him. It's about you. What have you done? And about this time, Satan would just love to pile on. You know, his name, Satan, means the accuser. Hebrews says he's the accuser of the brethren. And he points that finger of his right at you and he nails you with your sins. Have you forgotten about what you did just yesterday? How you treated that person, what you said to them, how you responded, what you did, how you blew up with anger. And what about just this morning as you were getting ready to come to church? What was that all about? And he goes down this long list of accusations. Ah, the really foul stuff, the dirty little secrets, the skeletons in the closet, the secret lusts, the lies. And you know what he's talking about. You can't deny it. So, who are you going to blame this time? Did you know that in the Old Testament, the Israelites actually played a formalized version of the blame game. It's in Leviticus chapter 16, 21. It was on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the priest is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert to die. That's Leviticus 16. Isn't that something? This God who will not let us off the hook, who will not play the blame game with us, who looks us straight in the eye and says, "What have you done?" is the same God who instituted and gave his blessing to this formal version of the blame game for his people, and even created its rules. And the rules are very simple. Someone has to pay. So, put your sins on the goat, and the goat will die in your place. Now, are we hearing this correctly? God actually wants us to lay the blame on someone else, on an innocent animal, a little sheep or a goat? Are we to let it take the fall for us? You heard right. Where do you think the word scapegoat comes from? This is God's doing. And yet, of course, we all know that a little animal can't take away the sins of even one man, much less the nation of Israel, much less the world. The Old Testament scapegoat game was really just a prelude to the real deal announced by John the Baptist. Ecce Agnus Dei. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus. He's the one that the Old Testament church was waiting for. He's the one that whole Old Testament scapegoat blame game was all about. But better than any old goat, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Because you see, someone has to pay. That is the sense of justice that is built into the fabric of the universe itself. And it's encoded in our genetic makeup because it is an attribute of our Creator. God is a just God. And so we have this innate sense of justice in us that says that if you do something wrong, you should pay for it. And someone will pay. But here's the wonder. In the economy of God's kingdom and His justice, the someone who pays is not necessarily the same one who offended. But God is telling us in His gospel, you can blame me. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought we held Adam in contempt for blaming God, daring to say it was the woman that you gave me. How dare you blame God? And yet now, we're saying you can blame God? Maybe Adam was onto something. Because now God is saying through His Son, go ahead, blame me. Lay it all on me. The sin, the guilt, the ugliness, lay it on me. Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. And sure enough, He accepted the blame as His own. And then He died in our place. Paid the price that justice demands. It's God's gift to you. To accept the blame so that we won't be blamed. To take the fall so that we can stand at the throne of God. To bear the consequences so that we can reap the rewards. To die so that we can live. So go ahead, friends. Fess up. Don't hold back. Don't try to hide the darkest and the ugliest of what you've got in your life. Lay it all on the table. Lay it all on the scapegoat. Blame Him. He wants you to do that. And then when the devil comes around and he reminds you of your sins and tries to drive you to guilt and despair, when he tries to shame you with this long list of the terrible things you've done, you say to him, "Oh, Satan, it's all true, but you don't even know the half of it. You've kept a very good record of all the things I've said and all the things I did, but you have no idea all that's going on in my head and in my heart. You don't even know the worst of it." But Jesus knows. And he came for that reason. And it's already taken care of. Have you heard about Tracy and Lanny Barnes? These twin sisters are biathletes who compete at the highest levels of their sport. They both made the U.S. Winter Olympics team in 2008. This year, Tracy made the cut for the Olympics team, but Lanny became ill during the qualifying events. And yet, even despite her illness, she still managed to come in just behind her sister, but one spot out of the qualifying. She didn't qualify. She was one spot too low in the ranking to qualify. So Tracy qualified, Lanny didn't. When Tracy learned that she had qualified, but her sister had not, she turned and she winked at Lanny, and Lanny took that to mean that her sister was going to be racing for her in Sochi. But later on a walk through the woods, Tracy told Lanny what that wink was really all about. She was going to give up her spot on the Olympics team so that Lanny would qualify for the team instead and be the one to race in Sochi. Watch for that story at the Winter Olympics this year. Tracy is the one who qualified. She's the one who earned the spot on the team. Well, Lanny's sickness effectively disqualified her. But in this marvelous sisterly swap, it's as if Tracy took Lanny's sickness upon herself and paid its terrible price, while at the same time she qualified Lanny for the honor of serving and playing in the Olympics, an honor that she had deserved. Yeah, Ecce Agnus Dei. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the blessed name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.